Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another edition of Fingers on
Buzzers.
They're still on the buzzers. That's still where the fingers are.
Always.
Not dicks on buzzers last week. That nearly happened, but
yeah.
It's fingers on buzzers. So welcome. And Jenny, it's another lockdown mashup special today, is it not?
It is. Well, we've got captive podcast crews all over the nation with nothing better to do than to do an episode of our podcast for us. Yes, we've got another mashup. We've been on their podcast and we're returning the favour.
Well, we've actually dominated their podcast because we've been on, all of us individually, you, me and Amanda, and then as a crew as well, which was the most tremendous fun. And rather than having them one at a time, we thought we'd do them both together. So we welcome, you know, everything's sounding rude today. I don't know why. We're going to do them both together. We've got Neil and Pav from WTAF, the This Country podcast.
Yay!
Hello!
I muffed that introduction a little
bit. You did, but my glasses are steamed up now with all the innuendos and stuff.
It's
like being on a carry-on film.
Well, it's lovely to see you again.
It's lovely to see you all as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for coming. And so shall we... We could tell the listeners what happened when we came on your wonderful podcast. Tell us a bit about what your podcast is and what we've done on it.
Okay, well, our podcast is a fan podcast about the wonderful BBC comedy This Country, which we're all big fans of. And if you haven't seen it, get onto iPlayer and watch it because it is fantastic. And I've put quizzes together before. The first couple of years of doing the podcast, we had fan of the year quizzes at the end of the year. And because I've been through every episode in 10-second increments, and I've got like 650, 700 questions. So yeah. I thought, well, that's silly doing that without putting it to good use. So we've had a couple of quizzes. And then I thought, what we're going to do, I mean, if there was any chance, obviously, like you said, we were very lucky to be able to speak to all of you. So if we could do some way of doing some quiz with the number one quizzing podcast that's out there, what better way to celebrate this country and celebrate quizzing? And I said to you on the night that it was one of the most fun nights I've had podcasting in 7.5 years that we've been podcasting.
Oh, it was a delight for us as well, because the beauty of it is, I mean, we, as you know, love a quiz, but also when you are quizzed about something that you really care about, it's such a special thing, and we all love the show so much. In fact, because I was thinking, obviously general knowledge is very important, but one thing we haven't really talked about on this podcast, is it, Jen, is specific knowledge. People who have a really sort of narrow niche speciality. Have you come across that a lot, Jen?
Oh, the nerd's nerd. I mean, even your general knowledge mavens will all have their particular niche that they feel they can't be beaten on, or if there's a couple of them in the room at the same time, it will become a very, very specific quizathon. So, you know, there's people who are massive fans of, you know, say Father Ted, and it will be absolute minutiae of each episode. But also that in some of my quiz circles, there's people who are really into things like transport. So there'll be quizzes on, you know, tube station names and which one can be anagrammed as this. And it's, yeah, that is very intense and deep, special love. And when you are with people who have that level of knowledge and level of love for a topic, it's not quite as vicious as you think it would be. It's people are trying to catch each other out with very hard questions, but there's utter respect for the person asking the question for coming up with a good question, as well as the people who may or may not get the right answer. It's a whole subgenre of a subgenre of quiz. And it's intense.
Well, it is, and we had a very intense evening with you guys, and
then we had a quiz.
I'm wondering whether I should reveal who won.
Well, yeah, that episode has gone out now, so I can honestly say with loads of surprise, I never thought it would happen, that Neil won. You know,
hooray! Well, we were delighted, because as you should, you know.
Yeah, it's only fair.
Well, I was delighted because I definitely didn't think I would win, even though I've seen the programme so many times. Some of the fans that we've met and the knowledge they know, like you said earlier, I would never know those sort of things. And to win, well, I was very humbled. There you go. I really was.
Well, is the next stop Mastermind?
Well, to be fair, he's got the champion of champions this country to deal with now. So we have the first fan of the year winner has now retired from quizzing, so she's not going to take part. So we have the second fan of the year, which is going to take part. The I will say the number one Facebook group of this country called the Dump Gang. We had a admin playoff yesterday, and Sarah won it by 1 point. It was if it wasn't sweaty enough in the shed, it was really hot and sweaty, and it was very, 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 very like near the knuckle and down to the last second. So we are now going to do a almost like a Big Brother audition style to find the one other person that's going to join the other three on the top table for the champion of champions. Oh, now.
Exciting times.
I know.
I'm nerve-wracking.
Well,
I've got to start watching in minute detail.
You've got something to prove now, Neil, you see, because we will be all furious. If you are now beaten, then that not only reflects badly on you, but it reflects badly on us. So
diminishes our achievement in coming as runners up to you.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, yeah, no pressure, Neil, but we will be watching.
Yeah. Oh, I strive on pressure.
See, that's why I like doing the quizzes, because you've got no pressure, you know, especially with things like Keynote or PowerPoint. What I should have done for the one that we did is have it all on Keynote or whatever it's called, because then you haven't even got to have bits of paper, which is what I've done for quizzes. I've done like the family quizzes and stuff. It's all on the screen, so you don't need any. You can just press the button, read it off of the screen, and away you go. It's wonderful.
Oh, but then the tech lets you down, as so many of us have found in Zoom quizzes.
It does. Or like the maths round, which I know was all of your favourites on the thing. I forgot the answers, so I couldn't say whether it was yes or no until I'd pressed the button. So I couldn't issue out the points. I felt like I let myself down on that bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love doing quizzes. I really do. But I always think it's the same as like I like being a driver of a car. I don't particularly like being the passenger of a car.
Yeah.
So because you're in control, so you're the person that's controlling everything, and then when you see somebody get a question that has got them, it's lovely. Yeah, it's that sadistic sort of they're struggling. They're struggling now, and I love that. I love that part of quizzing.
Do you? You love the sort of sadistic.
Oh, it's wonderful. Having that power that you're making people squirm in their seat. Or they almost know the answer. Not that if they go, oh, I don't know that, and that's no good. If they go, oh, I know that one. I know that. What is it? And you see them squirming in their seat. It's wonderful. It's such a God complex that you've got this power over people. I love
it. Well, we enjoy that very much as well. And do you know what? We're just about to enjoy that pleasure. We are going to quiz you guys. Oh, no. So, yeah, get in that back seat, pal. You're not even going to be in the passenger seat.
I'll tell you what, Lucy, there's been years that I've wanted you to say that to me. And I can die happy now.
So we're going to start with, in fact, should we start with Pav, Jem?
Yeah, I think as you are now poacher turned gamekeeper, or the other way around, poachy, you're now the pheasant in the gamekeeper scenario. Okay. We are now poaching you.
There must be a this country sort of, you know, analogy for this, mustn't there?
I'm sure there is. My mind has gone completely blank now, yeah, so I've got no idea what's going on.
I'm glad. I'm very glad. So, right, Pavo's first question. I should say that what we're quizzing you on, we thought, what can we do? Obviously, we can't do this country because you are the experts and Neil has already beaten us. But I thought what we would do is sort of think laterally. So it's questions about the Cotswolds.
Oh.
Which should be, you know, very much on home turf, quite literally.
Quite literally, yeah.
If the Cotswolds consist of Cirencester, we'll do well.
We might, you know, we might edge out towards Stroud at some point, but, you know.
Browns.
So I am going to ask you, Pav, what are referred to as Cotswold Lions? I'll give you a clue. It's not actual lions. Although, do you have lions in Cirencester, maybe?
I'm sure there is a big...
There was that big black cat on the loose near South Cerny.
So we've sort of...
I saw that in the news.
Cotswold Lions. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, look at the squirming.
I know, it's great, isn't it?
I'll say... Is it... What's on the badge of Kerry Mucklow's England shirt?
Very good answer. It's the wrong answer. Oh. It's another animal. Is that any help, little kid?
It's another animal.
Animal. Yeah.
It's another animal.
It's not a lion.
Neil doesn't like he can help either.
It's not the Fox twins, is it? I've got to get this country out of my head. I have no idea, Lucy. I'm sorry.
It's nothing to do with that, no. The answer is Cotswold sheep, which once provided wool for half of England's cloth.
Wow.
So the mighty, mighty sheep of the Cotswolds are known as Cotswold Lions.
Thank you for that.
You don't want to get bitten by one either.
No.
You don't.
No.
Okay.
Right, Jenny, would you like to ask?
Yeah, Pavel's question from me. What distinguishing feature of the Cotswolds is the same length as the Great Wall of China?
Ooh.
He tried to put in a carry-on answer
If my Kenneth Williams was up to scratch, I would have really gone for it then. Is it the Stowe Road?
No.
Ah.
No, nice try, but not quite. Yeah, Great Wall of China is very, very, very long.
Well, Stowe Road's not too bad itself, I'll tell you that. You can't see it from space, I know, but, you know, it's, you know, I wouldn't want it on my...
Depends how far into space you go, I suppose.
I wouldn't want it on my nose as a wart, put it that way.
Is it a river?
It's not a river, but you know, you are thinking it's total length rather than one straight stretch. You are on the right lines. Right.
Ooh.
Any further guesses?
What,
something the Cotswolds very famous for?
My nan's hedge.
Close. Ooh, you are getting close. You are getting close. Ooh, yeah.
You hedge in Cirencester. No. A world famous big yew hedge.
We have. Maybe it's, not. It's maybe, I wouldn't say world famous. Maybe
it's not a hedge, but it is something else you would use to divide
areas
of land.
Cotswold Drystone.
Yes, you have as much dry stone wall in the Cotswolds as the entire length of the Great Wall of China.
But wow! It's
obviously not end to end.
Wow! Who's actually gone out and measured that? That's amazing.
Yeah, there you go. Claim to fame.
Claim to fame. I didn't even realise that was a thing. There you go.
There you go.
Do you know where the earliest known example of dry stone walling is? At Bellis Knapp near Winchcombe.
Oh, I've heard of Winchcombe.
Yeah, well.
But then I've heard of the Great Wall of China, so that doesn't really mean anything.
Oh, well, you were so close. It was
so
tantalising.
You were getting there.
Yeah, well done, Neil.
Right, well, now it's time to put the spotlight on you, Neil.
Oh, dear.
And it's a grudge match. We really don't want you to succeed, but, you know, we're still very bitter. Now, this question, Amanda wrote this question, but I independently found this fact out this week, which is one of those things that no one else will be at all interested in that, but it blew my mind. So the question is, what did Edwin Budding from Stroud invent in 1830?
Edwin Budding.
Oh, I thought it was Edward Budding. Sorry.
Edward Budding.
What's
the invention? So, it's a labour-saving device. The first ones, now I know this because I looked it up this week, the first ones that he made, so he made this labour-saving device, and a couple of the first of these that he made, he sold to the London Zoological Society and the Oxford Colleges. So it was something for which they had a use.
A wheelbarrow.
Oh, you're so
Right lines. More high-tech than that, though. More high-tech.
Oh, more high-tech than a wheelbarrow.
I mean, it's hard to imagine.
Yeah. in the 1800s. Yeah.
Cutting-edge technology. Literally cutting-edge. Cutting-edge.
Oh, nice.
Lawnmower.
Yay!
Yay! Well done, Pat.
Very good.
I was going to say stapler for some reason. I don't know why that came into my head.
Who invented the stapler? I'll look that up for you. But 1830, he invented the lawnmower.
Why?
And then in 1842, he invented the adjustable spanner.
What a man.
He was a handy chap, wasn't he?
Oh, what a man.
What were you doing looking up lawnmower invention this week?
It's a really dull story, so let's just leave it there.
It's the Bader-Meinhof effect. Is that phenomenon where you have never heard of a topic or a name or something, and it comes up in one scenario, and then you see it everywhere within a week. It's popping up all over the place. It's called the Bader-Meinhof effect after the German underground organization terror group, because obviously someone had never heard of it before. And then suddenly saw four or five references within a couple of weeks.
Oh.
Yeah. It's
interesting.
This is so educational.
Have you got your notebook, Pav? You should be taking notes to learn.
I should be. It's all in there, Neil. It's
for mastermind.
For mastermind, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, I think we'd have to give you that because you did get there pretty quickly, didn't you? So, yeah, I think that's a point.
And Neil, you've got a question here, which I think if you don't get, you are barred entry to Gloucestershire for all time.
Oh, Christ, again?
Yeah. What is a Gloucestershire old spot?
It's a sausage or a pig.
Both perfectly acceptable answers, both delicious answers. And yes, I would be sorely disappointed if you didn't get that.
I love a good old Gloucester old sausage.
I had heard that about you, but Pavel's been putting that out about you.
Yeah. That's See, why can't I do Kenneth Williams? That'd have been perfect for Kenneth Williams then.
We did have Michael Sheen on a couple of weeks
ago.
And he does have the best Kenneth Williams.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Such a good episode that was as well.
Aww.
Yeah.
Do you want to know who invented the stapler?
Go on then.
Yes.
Well, it's one of those
disputed.
Very much so. But I would say, so George McGill made a sort of paper fastener, C.H. Gould, you know, but George McGill made the first commercially successful stapler in 1879.
Wow. Ooh. 1879.
That's nice and early. Was it used for newspapers or magazines or anything at that time, or just for office? Clerical use only.
I don't know. I'll look for more information.
You carry on, guys. I love this. I love this. Yes.
Lucy will be back with stapler updates.
Oh, well, you see, now according to
hot off the press
page of Google, it's Charles Henry Gould.
I don't like the sound of him.
No.
I don't like the sound of him at all.
No.
Oh, hang on. No, it did, Lilla. The first known stapler was made in the 18th century in France for King Louis XV. Each staple was inscribed with the insignia of the royal court.
That's more like it. Imagine finding one of those staples.
Yes. Well, that's what we want as merch, is individually labelled staples from now on.
I think that's a great idea. Neil, let's get on it, quick. We better get it before the fingers on buzzers girls get there. That lucrative staple market.
Oh, marvellous.
Well, do you know what? Neil did brilliantly. I really do think you should try Mastermind, Neil, because that was... Look at you with your Gloucestershire old spot, just straight in.
Straight in.
It's only because I like my food.
What would be... Have you got, either of you, a favourite this country question? One that's stumped people, or one that you particularly enjoy?
There's been a couple, to be honest. There's been a couple that... the trouble is that... Well, because when I sorted out the quiz for you guys, it's like... You don't know, like you say, the minutiae of some questions, especially when it's a fan quiz. Some people are going to find the ones I think are really hard, really easy. And then there's been some where I think, oh, I'm not going to put that in because people are going to get that straight away. And they're the ones that stump people. It's really strange how... I mean, I don't know. I mean, Jen, you've written quizzes. How do you put your mind into the person that you're writing the quiz for? Or do you not bother?
It is absolutely key to think about your audience. And I think a lot of people who are really prolific quiz writers will write lots of questions of all difficulties, but then have to categorise them. So they'll be thinking, I'm writing this question. This is just for me. That, you know, this is for hardcore quizzes. Mm-hmm. And then it's more about selecting the right questions out of those for your audience. Often I find, if you're doing general knowledge ones, starting with the answer and making sure the answer is something that most people will have heard of and thinking of it that way, because it's pointless asking a really interesting question where only, you know, 1 in 50 of the people have even heard of the person who's the answer, you know. The classic one, which is always quoted from the European Quiz Championships, is this question that went on. It was about 100 words long, and it was basically, who is known as the father of American beekeeping? I can't even remember the answer now.
No. It's like who invented the stapler. You know, that's, I've already forgotten. We were only talking about it.
It's Louis the 15th, wasn't it?
Well, clearly, yeah, it was Louis the 15th we've established.
Well, I tell you, the humdinger that I did for the Dump Gang admin last night, I did a observation round, so we had a clip. It was the clip when Kaylee went into Martin's caravan and then ran out, and Curtin was shouting, Kaylee, Kaylee. I asked them, what was the make of Martin's caravan?
Nice.
Now, you only saw it for probably 1.5 seconds. And when I found it, I had to take a screenshot of it, blow it up so that I could see what the name was. And that was the one that I was quite proud of yesterday because it got... Yeah. Anybody ideas?
What was it?
Come on, Neil. You're the champion. You should be telling me.
Oh, yeah, because I pause every frame of this country. Swift.
No, it wasn't. No.
Oh, that's a really good intelligent guess though, isn't it? Because that is definitely
that's the only making caravan I know.
Sundowner
or something like that. It's some kind of
no, it's pirouette.
Oh, wow. Never heard of a pirouette.
There you go. Yeah. I had a big sort of cheesy grin on my face when they were all trying to work out one out yesterday. So yeah, it's just weird with quizzes, you know, what some find easy, others are going to find hard. And that's,
Thinking about who is going to be, some people are going to be more about the memory test side of it. They already know the stuff, but other people, that will be absolutely their strength, and they're going to feel like an absolute genius for being the only one in the room who gets something in an observation round or, say, a maths round, which they should be banned.
Well, so you can further indulge your sadistic love of being a quizmaster now, because it is time for you guys, for this country, WTAF hosts to turn quizmasters. So who's going to start and what are you quizzing us on? Because we have no idea.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found. That project manager I could never seem to hire? And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, shall I go first, Neil?
Yes, okay. By all means, I'll get the
We've been
ready.
Sent these questions by the lovely Amanda. She is lovely. It's very quiet, but she is lovely. Okay, so it's called That Country.
Oh, I like it. So
I'm sure you'll find the link as we go through. So, Lucy, your first question.
Yes.
Which European country is the largest producer of bananas in Europe?
Hey ho! A European country producing bananas? I didn't even know it happened.
That was almost Kenneth Williams, the hey ho.
Well, my bananas come from all over. I'm not fussy about where the bananas come from, really, but what do you know? Well, is it like a sneaky one, like it's Spain?
Because
they grow them on the Canary Islands or something.
I can't give you any clues. I'm sorry.
I'm going to say Spain. I'm going to say Spain because it goes quite south.
Is that your final answer?
It is my final answer.
That is correct. Well done.
Yay!
It is Spain. Well done. Okay, Jenny.
Go on.
What is the official animal of Scotland? I will give you a clue. It's not Rod Stewart.
Is it the unicorn?
It is. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
See, these are professionals now, Neil. This is how it's done.
What? Jenny, I'm going to ask, why is it the unicorn? Do you know that?
Well, if look at the front. Look at the front of your passport, if you have one. The crest of Great Britain and Northern Ireland has the animal of England and the animal of Scotland as the supporting animals, so the lion and the unicorn.
There you go.
I'm not quite sure why, because it's mythical and beautiful and elusive,
and very just pale,
like a sunny day in Scotland.
Yeah,
is that why on our Cotswold passport we've got a unicorn and a sheep? Because we have a Cotswold lion. Yes. Is that why?
Yes.
See, I learned something tonight, look. I've learned something.
And don't forget the little piggy in the middle.
The Gloucestershire Old Spot, bless him.
Oh,
delicious. Yes.
Right. Next question for Lucy then. How many countries does Germany border with?
Oh, this is a great question.
It is.
This is a great question that I am about to get wrong.
I hate this question.
Yeah, do you know what? So you've got loads of, I'm like, well, obviously you've got Austria. Obviously you've got Switzerland. Obviously you've got France. Obviously you've got probably like Luxembourg or something. I don't even know. I get very hazy about this. I'm going to say, I think it's more than I would think. So I'm going to say eight.
I like it.
It's a bold answer, and I am going to go with it. It's more than I think it should be, but I'm hoping you'll surprise me.
It's nine.
Oh, you're close. Yeah.
So close.
It was conservative, if anything. Go on then. And do you know what they are, Neil?
Yes, I did. No, I'm not reading.
Just off the top of his head. Yeah.
Denmark in the north, yes. Poland and the Czech Republic in the east, Switzerland, it's the only non-EU neighbour, mm-hmm. Austria in the south, France in the southwest, and Belgium, Luxembourg, and the Netherlands in the west.
Oh, very good. That's a great question.
And you were there as well. You were getting there. If you'd had long, if it was a pub quiz, you would have been writing them out and working out and eliminating. So I think, to get one away off the top of your head like that, very good instinct.
And it's nice because you do feel like you're genuinely in with the chance, and also you are learning, because then you go, I probably won't forget that now.
Yeah.
I'm pretty certain. Mm. You could ask me that again in a week and I could tell you.
All right, I'll set an alarm.
Jenny, are you ready?
Whatever. Go on.
Okay. What does the name Ghana mean?
Have I been asked this before? Ghana.
Was it longer than a week ago? If you were asked,
it was definitely. Yeah, I've definitely slept since then. Ghana. Well, often if you're asked that, it's like when Sahara just means desert. So Ghana could just mean home country in Ghanaian. So I'm going to say,
in the same way,
country.
Yeah,
I'm going to say that country.
This country.
Yeah. That's my answer, because I don't know it.
Ghana means warrior king.
Nice. It's unusual for the name of a country to name itself just as a singular person, but nice.
Yes, that was good.
Yeah, it's powerful.
I don't know how you possibly know that, though.
Yeah,
that's the sort of facts that you just, I suppose, hear and then remember, isn't
it? Yeah, I think it's a question that it might have been the other way around. If it was posed in sort of one of my quiz tournaments, it would be, you'd say, you know, Warrior King is the English translation of this country's name, and here's another fact about it. And, or it might say, you know, it's in this area, or these are its main cities and additional stuff like that. But it is a nice thing, and it's actually a good one for like a university challenge type of question, so that could be the first clue, and then there's two more clues in it that make it easier. But if you know it right away, you're straight in and you feel really smug. So when that comes up on university challenge next season, I'm gonna be smug as.
And do you lads know what is the capital of Ghana?
G
Correct.
Very good. There we go. That's perfect. 10 out of 10.
That's the nearest I'll get from that. I'd say that's one of my geography and things like that. I honestly, that's my math. So I struggle with that so much on quizzes. Yeah. You know,
we've all got them. We've all got those subjects. Yeah. It's sport with me that I just go, no, just turn off my brain. Thanks.
Mm, absolutely.
But I think you've got the potential to know more about it. I think we could unlock that potential, Lucy. I think we can do it.
Do you think so? I didn't even know questions about where I live. I'm not going to know questions about further out.
Do you know what I was thinking was that actually while sport is off, I should have taken that time to catch up. Because, you know, I always think with life, God, wouldn't it be great if everything just stopped and then you could catch up? Like music, because I've not done anything with music since about the year 2000. And I think would people just stop releasing records? And then it's sort of happened with sport now, hasn't it? That I could have spent these last sort of 12 weeks catching up on everything.
What, on like 150 years of sport? And that's what you would have
called. Well, because at least there's none happening actually now.
Well, that is true.
Yeah, you could do like records, like athletic records and all that sort of stuff because, they're not changing anytime soon.
Yeah, I might do that.
I would need to do that with music because I looked at the top 40 about 2 weeks ago and I didn't recognise a single act in the top 40. And I think that's an age thing, obviously, but I was like shocked that normally you'll recognise one person, but there was absolutely nothing at all. That
just the older you get, very the more old. Effort you have to put into revising that kind of thing. It means so much when you're like 15 to know what's in the top 20. It's like a huge deal.
Mm.
And then, every year it means less to you. I'm just going to put my old playlist on of all my old 80s and 90s hits.
I have to admit, I didn't even know they still did a top 40.
Mm. It's on a Friday now. They moved it.
Come on, granddads.
That's sad, that. Yes, Sunday afternoons. I used to love tuning in. Yeah.
Record them on your old cassette from the radio.
Yeah, you were poised to record that top 10.
I was always bittersweet. Because when you started watching the top, well, listening to the top 40, then you knew it was bath, something to eat, bed, and then school. And I can remember that when That's Life came on, I always I started asking my mum and dad really sort of stupid questions so that they would forget to say, right, time for bed. You said, why is the sky blue, mum? I don't understand. Well, I don't know either. And then That's Life would start and they'd settle in to watch That's Life. Right, we got another 40 minutes that we haven't got to go to bed. That's great. I'll just sit here and watch Cyril Fletcher and Esther Ransom talking about whatever's going on. We're safe for another 40 minutes. That's great. And if you could get to the start of Shoestring, you were sorted till about 10 o'clock and then you're fantastic.
Crazy turn.
You'd crack it.
I was 26 at the time. I was still... happy days.
Oh, a lovely bit of nostalgia there.
That's beautiful. Yeah.
In fact, I'll tell you what we haven't asked you very quickly is what were your favourite quiz shows of all time? Because we always like to ask our guests, just if you had to name one.
I actually watched Blankety Blank for the first time in ages, and Terry Wogan was a legend. Yeah. This was like prime Terry Wogan. And I honestly forgot just how great he was at being a quiz master on Blankety Blank. And I really enjoyed watching. I think I watched about two or three sort of back to back, and I think that's probably my favourite. It was always like if Kenny Everett was in the funny man seat, and then he would bend Terry Wogan's microphone and come up with stupid things and stuff. I think that was my favourite. I think
that's pretty good. What about you, Neil? Have you got a favourite?
Well, I've always got. I don't know whether it's my favourite, but fond memories of Going for Gold. I don't know, student years maybe of watching it, but yeah, I used to love that.
I think
probably watching now and it'd be really sort of bad.
It's amazing.
It's great.
The questions are so tricky.
Yeah.
Really. Mm. You are still marvelling at the fact that the language barrier did not affect John from Norway's buzzer speed.
I always loved the way they waved at the beginning.
Yeah, so cheery. It was.
Be there, and so they should be.
Yeah.
Because it was a beautiful collaboration of the nations.
No.
In the name of quiz, and Sir Henry Kelly.
Maybe one day see its like again. That's all we can hope.
That seems like such a long time ago.
Now, I think the time has come. We've called her lovely and we haven't heard from her for a while. Amanda, are you there and would you like to come in and quiz us all?
I am affirmative on both of those points. Yes, please. I think so. Going for Gold comes up every single week, doesn't it? Like,
yeah,
everyone loves it.
I reckon that the remaining states of the EU will probably bring it back and we won't be allowed to play.
Absolutely.
And that will be the worst thing about Brexit.
That will be the final flick of the V's, won't it? We're bringing back Going for Gold. That's your lot.
And they can have Henry Kelly as well.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Michel Barnier's got all that written down in his contract.
Yeah.
Well, very best of luck to them. Very best of luck to all of you. I've got a question each for you. I have decided to revert to the common theme of this country.
Oh, lovely.
These individual questions. Because the thing is, Pavo always gets away without being quizzed on specific. So, but I think you're going to get it. I was really trying to look for questions that might stump Neil and yourself, but I'd be hard pushed to try and fool you, but I can give it a go.
Okay.
So in that case, Pavo, I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
And your question is, in which way is Daisy May Cooper's real life partner, Will, given a shout out in the series?
The money raised at the Scarecrow Festival was for the William Weston Foundation. £342.
Fantastic. Well, you've got 342 points of that because you went a step further. I didn't know how much they've raised.
Thank you.
Well done. Neil, because you were the champion of champions. You know, really, I'm trying to catch you out here.
We've been quite mean to Neil.
I'm not at all bitter that I came last out of everybody when we all appeared together. Not at all. That is not reflected in this question. So.
If we'd competed as a team, we would have beaten Neil.
Ah, yeah.
There we go.
They conquered and divided, didn't they?
Yeah.
Okay. Or divided and conquered. Yeah, either way round, it works. Either way
round. We know for next time. We don't allow it next time. Team or nothing.
So, Neil, Curtin is obsessed with the cast of the children's TV programme The Queen's Nose. Which This Country cast member appeared in that programme?
Trevor Cooper.
Oh, for God's sake! Trevor Cooper, who's Len, was actually in that series. So just that was a nice little kind of nod, wasn't it,
lovely.
To their uncle? Yeah.
I'll hold my hand up. That was a guess because I was thinking he was the only one old enough.
Oh, well, it's a great guess. I was hoping, well, Paul Shahidi could have.
It was a kid's show as well.
Lucy, I'm counting on you and Jenny now to even things up slightly. Good luck. Right, here we go. Who is named on the credits as playing Kerry's unseen shouting mother?
Daisy May Cooper?
No, she goes under a different name for that character.
It's a pseudonym, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what is it?
Ah! There's that squirm! That's the squirm that I learned!
Go on, put us out of our misery, experts.
It's Ivy Woodcock.
Ivy Woodcock.
That's the one.
Look at that in unison as well.
Do you know how long? Because I didn't realise that Daisy did the voice. Do you know how long I was searching Twitter and Instagram to be able to book her to come on the podcast? Until Neil said, "Well, you know that it's Daisy that does that voice." I went, "You're joking."
That's brilliant.
How embarrassing is that? I'm scrolling, looking for her agent to see if I can get hold of her.
Yeah. Brilliant.
I should have just left you.
You should have done. You'd still be at it now. As a side note, very similar story. Somebody that I worked with on a radio show, Steve N. Allen, he had this character. It was somebody that used to ring in the show. It was pre-recorded. He was called Larry Entertainment and sort of doing the showbiz news from America. And I was trying to get him on the show. And I didn't realize it was Steve. It was actually him. And even like the Twitter picture, it was Steve just sucking his cheeks in, but it seemed to look completely different. So it's easily done, right?
Indeed.
So final question for Jenny. Which band did Curtin listen to through his dark phase?
This rings a massive bell. It's going to be... Oh, it's just trying to work out their comedy writing minds as well, isn't it? Of like, who would
how
it
dark
be?
Is dark?
Yes, because it won't be. It won't be like, you know, My Chemical Romance or anything that's actually angsty. It will be something like
S Club Juniors. oh my goodness! I've not clocked this line at all. Because it isn't he just? I don't know if I've imagined this or not. Is he not just into like happy hardcore and that's it? So like the Blackout Crew or something.
Well, it's his dark phase. So,
yeah. Well.
Yeah. I'm sure the guys know if we want to throw.
Yeah, of course they're just enjoying.
Look at their faces.
Well,
can you remember this one?
No, I'm genuinely. Is it Linkin Park or something like that?
I think
that?
It's Limp Bizkit, isn't it? Yeah.
Limp Bizkit.
Why didn't I give this question to you guys?
It wasn't then.
It's not either of those, no.
No. Disturbed. Is it someone who's at like new metal? Is it new metal?
I mean, I don't know enough about the band to actually kind of say what they are. I've heard of them, but.
Why has my brain gone?
Wow.
None.
I sort of feel like it's
a brutal one.
I think I'll know
it when you say it.
Yeah,
I think you all will. It's Papa Roach.
Yes, of course. You were on the correct lines of the Linkin Park. Correct style.
That is a question. That's a question that I did that as well. I should have known that. I won't sleep tonight now.
Well, that's been the thing about kind of getting questions together for you guys and knowing that, you know, you put extensive quizzes together week after week after week for your own podcast and just trying to avoid questions that you might have asked. It's kind of impossible, really, because...
But you did very well, Amanda, I'd have to say.
Oh, yes. I wasn't fishing for compliments.
Yeah, that was a great
But give them to me anyway.
Are we keeping score on those? Is that I think we've been soundly beaten there, Lucy.
I think we have. I think we invited you guys on in the hope that we could salvage some shreds of dignity. But, you know,
I don't feel that's very gentlemanly of us. So I think we should have maybe, you know.
We should have conceded
a bit, as it's your podcast. Yeah. I do feel
you know, easy to say that now, isn't it?
Sorry, Lucy. Sorry, Jenny. And sorry, Amanda.
There is one question I'd like to ask. It's not a quiz question. What's the funniest quiz team name you've got?
That's a good, because most of them are just very puns repetitive. On the word quiz, aren't they?
Quiz Team Aguilera. Quiz Team Hamilton is a better version of that, I find. Norfolk and Good. Norfolk and Chance. When I've run quizzes, there's always some team that thinks it's hilarious, and I make a point of saying it like that. Norfolk and Good. Make it sound like you're doing a swear. Is that really the highlight of your week?
My
favourites are always the ones that there was a quizmaster who was very unpopular at our local for a while, and it got really savage in the end, where it was just really deeply personal swipes at, you know, Jeff's fourth heart attack, because he'd had three heart attacks. Jeff's in A&E again. It was all that was sort of, it was funny in a really wrong kind of way.
Oh, dear.
The darkness of quiz.
I know.
But if that's a very good question for our listeners,
we can throw that to Twitter.
Do get in touch with your favourite quiz team names. That's nice, because we've ended there not on note of sour disappointment and defeat for us. So well done.
Yeah, well rescued.
There you go. Well done, Neil.
Very good. It's been such a delight and a joy.
Thank you so much.
Absolute bloody pleasure. Thank you so much for coming. And please, to our listeners who have not yet encountered, as you say, if you've not watched This Country, then you have the biggest delight and joy of your life to come. And then you can listen to your brilliant podcast and hear, because you've done like almost all the cast now.
Pretty much everyone. We spoke to as we're recording this, we spoke to Paul Shahidi last week for the third time. So he gets the match ball now. He's allowed to take the match ball home with him. And every time he's an absolute delight. It got a little bit mushy at the end. It got a little bit emotional at the end, which was really nice. But it has, to be fair, when we spoke to Daisy and Charlie the last time, when we've spoken to the producer and the director, when we just say to them, just thank you for what they've done. You know, whether there will be any more of this country, we don't know. But, you know, there's a lovely fan community in this country, which is something, being a Star Wars fan, is something that I'm not used to over the last few years of seeing a nice, friendly fan community. So it's beautiful to be part of it. And I'm also genuinely happy if somebody hasn't watched it, because they've got that to look forward to and to be able to. And also the fact that I think we've really stretched it out really well. There have been three series and a special, and we're now up to, I think, episode 136 of the podcast. So we've really stretched it out. I mean, look at that. We've got four episodes just out of you guys. So, you know, but for us, it's a win, because we've got to speak and talk to lovely people like yourselves and other people that we've got to speak to that we never would have thought we'd ever get a chance to speak to. So it's been loads of fun, and who knows how long it will go on for.
But we hope you go on forever. We really do.
Well, so, we'll gladly have you all on again separately and another quiz. Yeah.
Because until we win, we will keep coming back. You know that.
I've got 700 questions to get through, so that's fine. That's fine. We won't do a mass round. We'll do an observation round. So we'll level the playing field a little bit that way, and let's crack on with another one.
And we've got the American remake coming, so we'll probably get another 1,000 episodes out of that and a whole new row.
If it gets picked up, then that's it.
Let's hope it goes the Office way rather than the
And hopefully if all that get picked up, then that stapler money is just going to come rolling in.
Sweet staple cash.
Do you know what, I've already forgotten who invented the stapler.
PG
Louis,
PG Woodhouse,
PG Tips,
PG Tips. Yeah.
Louis from One Direction.
We have had a blast. That's the word. All that remains is for us to say goodbye to our gorgeous, amazing listeners, who we love to bits, and to Neil and Pavo. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, loves. We'll see everyone next time on Fingers on Buzzers. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.